Well, as you will recall, we have just landed Bud on the pilot world of the outermost Havona circuit. The pilgrim lands on the receiving planet of Havona, the pilot world of the seventh circuit, with only one endowment of perfection, perfection of purpose. The universal Father has decreed, be you perfect, even as I am perfect. When through and by the ministry of all the helper hosts of the universal scheme of survival, you are finally deposited on the receiving world of Havona, you arrive with only one sort of perfection, perfection of purpose. Your purpose has been thoroughly proved. Your faith has been tested. You are known to be disappointment proof. Not even the failure to discern the universal Father can shake the faith or seriously disturb the trust of an ascendant mortal who has passed through the experience that all must traverse in order to attain the perfect spheres of Havona. By the time you reach Havona, your sincerity has become sublime. Perfection of purpose and divinity of desire, with steadfastness of faith, have secured your entrance to the settled abodes of eternity. Your deliverance from the uncertainties of time is full and complete. And now must you come face to face with the problems of Havona and the immensities of paradise, to meet which you have so long been in training in the experiential epochs of time on the world schools of space. Faith has won for the ascendant pilgrim a perfection of purpose, which admits the children of time to the portals of eternity. Now must the supernovim, the pilgrim helpers, begin the work of developing that perfection of understanding and that technique of comprehension which are so indispensable to paradise perfection of personality. Ability to comprehend is the mortal passport to paradise. Willingness to believe is the key to Havona. The acceptance of sonship, cooperation with the indwelling adjuster, is the price of evolutionary survival. We're back on 290 where we were. Now, before we take up Bud's progress through Havona, circuit by circuit, there are two things we might take a look at as concerns Havona in general. We ought to consider two beings that are going to be assigned. When we go through Havona, we have three people attached to us. This is besides our teachers. This is known as the transit trio. We have one graduate guide and one Havona servitor who go through with us, go through the entire Havona career with us. And on each circuit, we get a secondary supernovim who travels with us all through that circuit. You'll recall that there are a billion worlds in Havona, and we spend some time on each world. And since each of these worlds is like no other Havona world, how long would you like to spend exploring, let's say, this world if you had the time and means? Would 100 years be enough? Well, if you spend 100 years on each Havona world, you are going to spend 100 billion years going through Havona. And maybe you'd rather spend 10 times that long. That would be 1,000 billion years, or 1,000,000,000,000 years. Or maybe you'd really like to settle down and enjoy one of these worlds for a longer time.
How long ago did Grand Fonda start?
We don't know.
I'd sure like to.
I tell you what we do know, though. We can set outside limits on the Havona ascent. There are natives of Nebadon who have been embraced by the Paradise Trinity as mighty messengers, etc. And we know that the oldest inhabited worlds in Nebadon are 200 billion years old. So it can be done in 200 billion years, because those would be the oldest survivors from Nebadon. On the other hand, that's an outside limit. It might be done in much less time. We have no way of knowing that.
It doesn't really matter after that.
After the first, after a million years or so, Julia. It is not important.
Well, certainly, it wasn't that long ago that Abraham
and
Moses started up.
That's right.
But they only got to Jerusalem.
That's correct. They've never gone beyond Jerusalem. Seems like a long time ago we were on Jerusalem, doesn't it? On page 269, they talk about the graduate guides, who is a group, sponsor and conduct the High University of Technical Instruction, spiritual training, which is so essential to mortal attainment of the goal of the ages, God, rest, and then eternity of perfected service. These highly personal beings take their name from the nature and purpose of their work. They're exclusively devoted to the tasks of guiding the mortal graduates from the super universes of time through the Havona course of instruction and training, which serves to prepare the ascending pilgrims for admission to paradise in the core of the finality. The graduate guides are engaged in piloting the pilgrims of time through the seven circuits of Havona world. The guide who greets you upon your arrival on the receiving world of the outer Havona circuit will remain with you throughout your entire career on the heavenly circuits, though you will associate with countless other personalities during your sojourn on a billion worlds. Your graduate guide will follow you to the end of your Havona progression and will witness your entrance into the terminal slumber of time, the sleep of eternity transit to the paradise goal, where upon awakening, you will be greeted by the paradise companion, assigned to welcome you and perhaps to remain with you until you are initiated as a member of the mortal core of the finality. Graduate guides never leave the Havana worlds. They are dedicated to the service of the graduate pilgrims of time and space, and you will sometime meet these noble beings face to face if you do not reject the certain and all perfected plan designed to affect your survival and ascension. Associated with the graduate guides are the Havana servitals. And we've already read about them in connection with their work with us down on Uversa. Let's turn to page 274. Where, well, I guess we won't read it. They work with the graduate guides. Both spirit servitals and their more physical fellows are also designated assistants and associates of the graduate guides in helping and instructing the various orders of ascending creatures who have attained Havona and who seek to attain paradise. And then the paper goes on to discuss how the great affection between the servitals and the guides, probably because the guides are transmuted servitals. I think of these Havana servitals as being quite analogous to the Spiranga found in the local universe, Maranchulai. Spiranga, not Spornagia.
Oh.
Spiranga are persons. They're the spirit servitals of the local universe. They're created, you remember, by Gabriel and the Father Melchizedek.
Bill, how important do you speculate our earth memory is when we ascend?
Quite important. Otherwise, we couldn't profit from experience, and we would be deficient in humor. The whole idea of play and relaxation is reversion.
You think our memory is as acute as we, or more acute than we assume it is now?
Yes, and I think we will remember all essentials and we will forget all unessentials. I have very great trust in what's getting registered in my soul. I'm certain that the unimportant things will pass away. Much as you think back in your memory now, you haven't forgotten anything important. But much that was trivial has grown quite dim, hasn't it? And you have no feeling of loss, do you? No, I think so it will be. It'll continue that way, I think. I don't think we will ever really miss anything that we need. And you know, They should clean the rubbish out of the attic. We squirrel away all kinds of things up there that that could take a good house cleaning. Turning back to page 291, we pick up the story of the superaphic. No, we shouldn't either. We should turn back still farther to 288. We should pick up the story of the tertiary supernatim. They don't work directly with us, but they are the general ministering spirits in Havona. Tertiary supernatim. They start out with the harmony supervisors, and it's their job to keep everything moving along smoothly and expeditiously. They have a great ability to coordinate a diversity of activities involving personalities of different orders, even multiple levels. And it enables these supernafim to give assistance whenever and wherever required. They contribute enormously to the mutual understanding of the pilgrims of time and the pilgrims of eternity. You'll recall that when mortals first started ascending Havona, Paradise citizens simultaneously started descending Havona, starting from the innermost circuit and moving outward. And then there are the chief recorders. They're the broadcasters and the messengers and the intelligence coordinators. And they're the wise and sympathetic promoters of fraternal association between ascending and descending pilgrims. They minister to all the inhabitants of Havona, and especially to the ascenders, by keeping them currently informed regarding the affairs of the universe of universes. By virtue of personal contacts with the broadcasters and the reflectors, these living newspapers of Havona are instantly conversant with all information passing over the vast news circuits of the central universe. They secure intelligence by the Havona graph method, which enables them automatically to assimilate as much information in 1 hour of Urantia time as would require 1,000 years for your most rapid telegraphic technique to record. That's real recording. These are the ministering spirits that we'll encounter in general in Havona. And now, we're back on the pilot world. We've been greeted by a graduate guide and his associated servitor. We've also been greeted by that secondary Sakanafim of the Order of Pilgrim Helper, who is assigned to us to get us through the outer belt of Havona worlds. We'll discover that this pilgrim helper is a being of quick understanding and broad sympathy. He's one of the high ministers who begin their work for the simultaneously his colleagues begin their work for the Paradise Pilgrims of Eternity, the first of whom arrived on the pilot world of the Inner Havona Circuit concomitantly with the landing of Gran Fanda on the pilot world of the Outer Circuit. Back in those far distant days, the pilgrims from Paradise and the pilgrims of time first met on the receiving world of circuit number 4. They give us our assignment in 3 major divisions. First, the supreme understanding of the Paradise Trinity. Second, the spiritual comprehension of the Father-Son partnership. Third, the intellectual recognition of the infinite spirit. Each of these phases of instruction is divided into 7 branches of 12 minor divisions of 70 subsidiary groupings. And each of these 70 subsidiary groupings of instruction is presented in 1,000 classifications. More detailed instruction is provided on subsequent circles, but an outline of every Paradise requirement is taught by the pilgrim helpers. That, then, is the primary or elementary course, which confronts the faith-tested and much-traveled pilgrims of space. But long before reaching Havona, these ascendant children of time have learned to feast upon uncertainty, to fatten upon disappointment, to enthuse over apparent defeat, to invigorate in the presence of difficulties, to exhibit indomitable courage in the face of immensity, and to exercise unconquerable faith when confronted with the challenge of the inexplicable. Long since the battle cry of these pilgrims became, in liaison with God, nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible. There's a definite requirement of the pilgrims of time on each of the Havoma circles. And while every pilgrim continues under the tutelage of Supernafim, by nature adapted to helping that particular type of ascended creature, the course that must be mastered is fairly uniform for all ascenders who reach the central universe. This course of achievement is quantitative, qualitative, and experiential, which is to say, intellectual, spiritual, and supreme. Time is of little consequence on the Havoma circles. In a limited manner, it enters into the possibilities of advancement, but achievement is the final and supreme test. The very moment your superaphic associate deems you to be competent to pass inward to the next circle, you will be taken before the 12 adjutants of the 7th circuit spirit. Here you will be required to pass the test of the circle determined by the superuniverse of your origin and by the system of your nativity. The divinity attainment of this circle takes place on the pilot world and consists in the spiritual recognition and realization of the master spirit of the ascending pilgrim's superuniverse. When the work of the outer Havoma circle is finished and the course presented is mastered, the pilgrim helpers take their subjects to the pilot world of the next circle and commit them to the care of the supremacy guides. The pilgrim helpers always tarry for a season to assist in making the transfer both pleasant and profitable. And then we're on the 6th circle. We're working with the supremacy guides there. And it's here in this circle that we achieve a new realization of supreme divinity. Throughout their long careers in the evolutionary universes, the pilgrims of time have been experiencing a growing awareness of the reality of an almighty overcontrol of the time-space creations. Here on this Havoma circuit, they come near to encountering the central universe source of time-space unity, the spiritual reality of God the Supreme. We nearly meet him. I'm somewhat at a loss to take place to explain what takes place on this circle. No personalized presence of supremacy is perceptible to the ascenders. In certain respects, new relationships with the seventh master spirit compensate this non-contactability of the supreme being. But regardless of our inability to grasp the technique, each ascending creature seems to undergo a transforming growth, a new integration of consciousness, a new spiritualization of purpose, a new sensitivity for divinity, which can hardly be satisfactorily explained without assuming the unrevealed activity of the supreme being. To those of us who have observed these mysterious transactions, it appears as if God the Supreme were affectionately bestowing upon his experiential children, up to the very limits of their experiential capacities, those enhancements of intellectual grasp, of spiritual insight, and of personality outreach, which they will so need in all their efforts at penetrating the divinity level of the Trinity of Supremacy to achieve the eternal and existential deities of Paradise. When the supremacy guides deem their pupils ripe for advancement, they bring them before the Commission of 70, a mixed group serving as examiners on the pilot world of circuit number 6. After satisfying this commission as to their comprehension of the Supreme Being and of the Trinity of Supremacy, the pilgrims are certified for translation to the 5th circuit. Here on the 5th circuit, they meet the Trinity guides, who are the tireless ministers of this aspect of Havoma training. The spiritual graduates are here designated candidates for the deity adventure, since it is on this circle, under the direction of the Trinity guides, that the pilgrims receive advanced instruction concerning the divine Trinity in preparation for the attempt to achieve the personality recognition of the Infinite Spirit. And here the ascending pilgrims discover what true study and real mental effort mean as they begin to discern the nature of the still more taxing and far more arduous spiritual exertion that will be required to meet the demands of the high goal set for their achievement on the worlds of this circuit. Most faithful and efficient are the Trinity guides, and each pilgrim receives the undivided attention and enjoys the whole affection of a secondary supernovim belonging to this order. Never would a pilgrim of time find the first approachable person of the Paradise Trinity were it not for the help and assistance of these guides and the host of other spiritual beings engaged in instructing the ascenders respecting the nature and technique of the forthcoming deity adventure. After the completion of the course of training on this circuit, the Trinity guides take their pupils to the pilot world and present them before one of the many triune commissions functioning as examiners and certifiers of candidates for the deity adventure. These commissions consist of one fellow of the finaliters, one of the directors of conduct of the order of primary supernovim, and either a solitary messenger or a trinitized son of paradise. When an ascendant soul actually starts for paradise, he is accompanied only by the transit trio, the superaffic circle associate, the graduate guide, and the ever-present servital associate of the latter. These excursions from the Havona circles to paradise are trial trips. The ascenders are not yet of paradise status. They do not receive residential status on paradise until they have passed through the terminal rest of time subsequent to the attainment of the Universal Father and the final clearance of the Havona circuits. Not until after the divine rest do they partake of the essence of divinity and the spirit of supremacy, and thus really begin to function in the circle of eternity and in the presence of the Trinity.
Why are those important?
Essence of divinity, spirit of supremacy, they're attaching special meaning to those English words. What is the essence of divinity? They don't define it. They merely say this is something special that changes. Actually, Ruth, what they're talking about is the terminal sleep together with the complement of rest at the end of the Havona career. And it's here that we actually are eternalized, you might say. We're just time visitors on paradise. We don't have eternity status on paradise. The ascender's companions of the transit trio are not required to enable him to locate the geographic presence of the spiritual luminosity of the Trinity. Rather, to afford all possible assistance to a pilgrim of time in his difficult task of recognizing, discerning, and comprehending the infinite spirit sufficiently to constitute personality recognition. This is a minimal achievement. Any ascendant pilgrim on paradise can discern the geographic or locational presence of the Trinity. The great majority are able to contact the intellectual reality of the deities, especially the third person. But not all can recognize or even partially comprehend the reality of the spiritual presence of the Father and the Son. Still more difficult is even the minimum spiritual comprehension of the Universal Father. I'm going to skip the parts which deal with what happens if you fail. It can happen. Yes, Betty?
Well, you just said that the arrival of the paradise at the ultimate does not result in eternity.
Not on this excursion. Bear with me, in a few pages we'll get there. The fourth Havona circuit is sometimes called the circuit of the suns. From the worlds of this circuit, the ascending pilgrims go to paradise to achieve an understanding contact with the eternal sun. While on the worlds of this circuit, the descending pilgrims achieve a new comprehension of the nature and mission of the Creator suns in time and space. There are seven worlds in this circuit, on which the reserve corps of the Paradise Michaels maintain special service schools of mutual ministry to both the ascending and descending pilgrims. And it is on these worlds of the Michael Sons that the pilgrims of time and the pilgrims of eternity arrive at their first truly mutual understanding of one another. In many respects, the experiences of this circuit are the most intriguing of the entire Havona sojourn. The Sun Finders are the superaphic ministers to the ascending mortals of the Fourth Circuit. In addition to the general work of preparing their candidates for a realization of the Trinity relationships of the Eternal Son, these Sun Finders must so fully instruct their subjects that they will be wholly successful, first in the adequate spiritual comprehension of the Son, second in the satisfactory personality recognition of the Son, and third in the proper differentiation of the Son from the personality of the Infinite Spirit. After the attainment of the Infinite Spirit, no more examinations are conducted. The tests of the inner circles are the performances of the pilgrim candidates when in the embrace of the enshroudment of the deities. Advancement is determined purely by spirit, by the spirituality of the individual, and no one but the gods presumes to pass upon this possession. In the event of failure, no reasons are ever assigned. Neither are the candidates themselves nor their various tutors and guides ever chided or criticized. On Paradise, disappointment is never regarded as defeat. Postponement is never looked upon as disgrace. The apparent failures of time are never confused with the significant delays of eternity. When the pilgrim soul attains the third circle of Havona, he comes under the tutelage of the Father guides, the older, highly skilled, and most experienced of the superaphic ministers. On the worlds of this circuit, the Father guides maintain schools of wisdom and colleges of technique, wherein all the beings inhabiting the central universe serve as teachers. Nothing is neglected which would be of service to a creature of time in this transcendent adventure of eternity attainment. The attainment of the Universal Father is the passport to eternity, notwithstanding the remaining circuits to be traversed. It is therefore a momentous occasion on the pilot world of circle number three, when the transit trio announce that the last venture of time is about to ensue, that another creature of space seeks entry to paradise through the portals of eternity. The test of time is almost over. The race for eternity has been all but run. The delays of uncertainty are ending. The temptation to doubt is vanishing. The injunction to be perfect has been obeyed. From the very bottom of intelligent existence, the creature of time and material personality has ascended the evolutionary spheres of space, thus proving the feasibility of the ascension plan, while forever demonstrating the justice and righteousness of the command of the Universal Father to his lowly creatures of the worlds. Be you perfect, even as I am perfect. Step by step, life by life, world by world, the ascendant career has been mastered, and the goal of deity has been attained. Survival is complete in perfection, and perfection is replete in the supremacy of divinity. Time is lost in eternity. Space is swallowed up in worshipful identity and harmony with the Universal Father. The broadcasts of Havona flash forth the space reports of glory. The good news that in very truth, the conscientious creatures of animal nature and material origin have, through evolutionary ascension, become in reality and eternally the perfected sons of God.
It was a nice funeral.
That's the finish line. No? That's not the end of the story, though. But from here on, it's a downhill pull. Here is where we crest the divide. And this is why the third circle of mortal attainment is so important here on earth. It's analogous to the third circle in Havana. When you reach the third circle, when you reach the third circle, you are cresting the divide of mortal progress. From here on, it's a formality. The adventure is over. The superaphic counselors and advisors of the second circle are the instructors of the children of time regarding the career of eternity. The attainment of paradise entails responsibilities of a new and higher order, and the sojourn on the second circle affords ample opportunity to receive the helpful counsel of these devoted supernovim. For the successful pilgrims on the second circuit, I turn the page. The stimulus of evolutionary uncertainty is over, but the adventure of the eternal assignment has not yet begun. And while the sojourn on this circle is wholly pleasurable and highly profitable, it lacks some of the anticipative enthusiasm of the former circles. Many are the pilgrims who at such a time look back upon the long, long struggle with a joyous envy, really wishing they might somehow go back to the worlds of time and begin it all over again.
Gee, this is a kind of a gimmick, isn't it? I didn't know this was going to happen.
Of course you didn't. Just as you mortals in approaching advanced age sometimes look back over the struggles of youth and early life and truly wish you might live your lives over once again. But the traversal of the innermost circle lies just ahead, and soon thereafter the last transit sleep will terminate and the new adventure of the eternal career will begin. The counselors and advisors on the second circle begin the preparation of their subjects for this great and final rest, the inevitable sleep, which ever intervenes between the epochal stages of the ascendant career. When those ascendant pilgrims who have attained the Universal Father complete the second circle experience, their ever attendant graduate guides issue the order admitting them to the final circle. These guides personally pilot their subjects to the inner circle, and there place them in the custody of the complements of rest, the last of those orders of secondary supernovim assigned to the ministry of the pilgrims of time on the world circuits of Havana. You'll recall we've skipped over the disappointments of those who fail, but you will remember what happens to them. These disappointed pilgrims are sent out into that super universe which will be most beneficial in making up the deficiency in their experience. And when they return the second time to Havana, they never fail. If a deficiency is revealed, it is always corrected on the first makeup course. Much of an ascender's time on the last Havana circuit is devoted to a continuation of the study of the impending problems of paradise residence. A vast and diverse host of beings, the majority unrevealed, are permanent and transient residents of this inner ring of Havana worlds. And the commingling of these manifold types provides the superaphic complements of rest with a rich situational environment which they effectively utilize in furthering the education of the ascending pilgrims, especially with regard to the problem of adjustment to the many groups of beings soon to be encountered on paradise. This is sort of a Havana parallel of our experience with the Univitation. It's here that we encounter large numbers of the creature Trinitized sons. They evidently are pretty concentrated on this inner group of Havana worlds. Mortals have received the paradise command, be you perfect even as your paradise father is perfect. To these creature Trinitized sons of the conjoint core, the supervising supernovim never ceased to proclaim, be you understanding of your ascendant brethren, even as the paradise creator sons know and love them. The mortal creature must find God. The Creator Son never stops until he finds man, the lowest will creature. Beyond doubt, the Creator Sons and their mortal children are preparing for some future, an unknown universe service. Both traverse the gamut of the experiential universe, and so are educated and trained for their eternal mission. Throughout the universes, there is occurring this unique blending of the human and the divine, the commingling of creature and creator. Unthinking mortals have referred to the manifestation of divine mercy and tenderness, especially toward the weak and in behalf of the needy, as indicative of an anthropomorphic God. What a mistake. Rather, should such manifestations of mercy and forbearance by human beings be taken as evidence that mortal man is indwelt by the spirit of the living God, that the creature is, after all, divinity motivated. Near the end of the first circle sojourn, the ascending pilgrims first meet the instigators of rest of the primary order of supernatural. These are the angels of paradise, coming out to greet those who stand at the threshold of eternity and to complete the preparation for the transition slumber of the last resurrection. You are not really a child of paradise until you have traversed the inner circle and have experienced the resurrection of eternity from the terminal sleep of time. The perfected pilgrims begin this rest, go to sleep on the first circle of Havona, but they awaken on the shores of paradise. Of all who ascend to the eternal isle, only those who thus arrive are the children of eternity. The others go as visitors, as guests, without residential status. And now at the culmination of the Havona career, as you mortals go to sleep on the pilot world of the inner circle, you go not alone to your rest, as you did on the worlds of your origin. When you closed your eyes in the natural sleep of mortal death, nor as you did when you entered the long transit trance, preparatory for the journey to Havona. Now, as you prepare for the attainment rest, there moves over by your side your longtime associate of the first circle, the majestic complement of rest, who prepares to enter the rest as one with you. As the pledge of Havona that your transition is complete and that you await only the final touches of perfection. Your first transition was indeed death, the second an ideal sleep, and now the third metamorphosis is the true rest, the relaxation of the ages. And then if you'll turn to page 283, we'll see what happens when you wake up. Yes, we must read about the Paradise Companions.
I'm over ending it right there, I like that.
Oh no. No, you've merely heard the end of the time-space movement. Now you've got to listen to the opening orchestrations of the eternity movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing never ends on a finished note. Wait until I read you the last sentence in the story of the Paradise Ascent. The Paradise Companions are a compositor assembled group of recruited from the ranks of the Seraphim, Seconophim, Supernophim, and Omniphim. Though serving for what you would regard as an extraordinary length of time, they are not a permanent status on Paradise. When this ministry has been completed, as a rule but not invariably, they return to those duties they performed when summoned to Paradise service. These selected angels are dedicated to the service of companionship and are assigned as associates to all classes of beings who may chance to be alone on paradise, chiefly to the ascendant mortals, but also to all others who are alone on the central isle. Paradise companions have nothing especial to accomplish in behalf of those with whom they fraternize. They are simply companions. Almost every other being you mortals will encounter during your paradise sojourn, aside from your fellow pilgrims, will have something definite to do with you or for you. But these companions are assigned only to be with you and to commune with you as personality associates. They are often assisted in their ministry by the gracious and brilliant paradise citizens. Mortals come from races that are very social. The creators well know that it is not good for man to be alone, and provision is accordingly made for companionship, even on paradise. If you as an ascendant mortal should reach paradise in the company of the companion or close associate of your earthly career, or if your seraphic guardian of destiny should chance to arrive with you or were waiting for you, then no permanent companion would be assigned you. But if you arrive alone, a companion will certainly welcome you as you awaken on the Isle of Light from the terminal sleep of time. Even if it is known that you will be accompanied by someone of ascendant association, temporary companions will be designated to welcome you to the eternal shores and to escort you to the reservation made ready for the reception of you and your associates. You may be certain of being warmly welcomed when you experience the resurrection into eternity on the everlasting shores of paradise. Reception companions are assigned during the terminal days of the ascender's sojourn on the last circuit of Avona, and they carefully examine the records of mortal origin and eventful ascent through the worlds of space and the circles of Avona. When they greet the mortals of time, they are already well-versed in the careers of these arriving pilgrims and immediately prove to be sympathetic and intriguing companions.
I don't see how they can pay that much attention to so many. Maybe, as you suspect, there aren't so many.
During your pre-finality sojourn on paradise, if for any reason you should be temporarily separated from your associate of the ascending career, mortal or seraphic, a paradise companion would be forthwith assigned for counsel and companionship. When once assigned to an ascendant mortal of solitary residence on paradise, the companion remains with this person until he either is rejoined by his ascendant associates or is duly mustered into the corps of the finality. And now let's read about the primary supernatant. These are the last of the ministering spirits and the highest. You'll recall they're created by the infinite spirit. And they're just completely interchangeable. They have these functions, but they're not limited by nature. Any primary supernafim can do any job equally well. They're of a little interest to us too, because the seraphic commander on this planet, the chief of seraphim, is a volunteer primary supernafim from paradise. And she serves as the prime minister of the resident governor general. Yes, page 298. These supernafim are the supernal servants of the deities on the eternal isle of paradise. Never have they been known to depart from the paths of light and righteousness. The roll calls are complete. From eternity, not one of this magnificent host has been lost. These high supernafim are perfect beings, supreme in perfection, but they are not absonite, neither are they absolute. Being of the essence of perfection, these children of the infinite spirit work interchangeably and at will in all phases of their manifold duties. And then, as we go on, not until the ascending pilgrims actually attain paradise residence Do they come under the direct influence of these Supernafim? And then they pass through a training experience under the direction of these angels in the reverse order of their naming. That is, you enter upon your paradise career under the tutelage of the instigators of rest, and after successive seasons with the intervening orders, the masters of chiefs of assignment, the interpreters of ethics, the directors of conduct, the custodians of knowledge, the masters of philosophy, then you finish this training period with the conductors of worship. Thereupon, are you ready to begin the endless career of a finaliter? It's interesting, again, there's an overlap. The instigators of rest are the inspectors of paradise who go forth from the central aisle to the inner circuit of Avona. They are to collaborate with their colleagues, the complements of rest, the secondary order of Supernafim. The one essential to the enjoyment of paradise is rest, divine rest. And these instigators of rest are the final instructors who make ready the pilgrims of time for their introduction to eternity. They begin their work on the final attainment circle of the central universe and continue it when the pilgrim awakes from the last transition sleep, the slumber which graduates a creature of space into the realm of the eternal. You enter the rest on the final Havona circuit and are eternally resurrected on paradise. And as you there spiritually repersonalize, you will immediately recognize the instigator of rest who welcomes you to the eternal shores as the very primary Supernafim who produced the final sleep on the innermost circuit of Havona. And you will recall the last grand stretch of faith as you once again made ready to commend the keeping of your identity into the hands of the Universal Father. The last rest of time has been enjoyed. The last transition sleep has been experienced. Now you awake to life everlasting on the shores of the eternal abode. And there shall be no more sleep. The presence of God and His Son are before you, and you are eternally His servants. You have seen His face, and His name is your spirit. There shall be no night there, and they need no light of the sun, for the great source and center gives them light. They shall live forever and ever, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. We also encounter the chiefs of assignment. The angels of assignment have much to do with glorified mortal residents of paradise before they are admitted to the core of the finality. Study and instruction are not the exclusive occupation of paradise arrivals. Service also plays its essential part in the pre-finaliter educational experiences of paradise. And I have observed that when the ascendant mortals have periods of leisure, they evince a predilection to fraternize with the reserve corps of the superaphic chiefs of assignment. When you mortal ascenders attain paradise, your societal relationships involve a great deal more than contact with a host of exalted and divine beings and with a familiar multitude of glorified fellow mortals. You must also fraternize with upwards of 3,000 different orders of paradise citizens, with various groups of the transcendentalers. That's the first mention of the second floor of the firehouse. And with numerous other types of paradise inhabitants, permanent and transient, who have not been revealed on your rancher. After sustained contact with these mighty intellects of paradise, it is very restful to visit with the angelic types of mind. They remind the mortals of time, of the seraphim, with whom they have had such long contact and such refreshing association. Just think how far we've come. When a seraphim, who seems so foreign, when a supernafim, who seems so foreign to us now, will seem refreshingly familiar.
Well,
think of the people that we're dealing with for the first time.
I am still puzzled over this. One more grand stretch of faith, that's not the exact thing. It just seems to me with all the wonderful experience thus far that you wouldn't, you'd have confidence.
Every time you lose consciousness, Ruth, you die. And that's why I'm so puzzled as to why death should perturb people, because they rehearse for it every night when they go to sleep.
Yeah, isn't that right?
Sleep is the rehearsal for death. The higher you ascend in the scale of life, the more attention must be paid to universe ethics. Ethical awareness is simply the recognition by any individual of the rights inherent in the existence of any and all other individuals. But spiritual ethics far transcends the mortal and even the Marantia concept of personal and group relations. Ethics has been duly taught and adequately learned by the pilgrims of time in their long ascent to the glories of paradise. As this inward ascending career has unfolded from the nativity worlds of space, the ascenders have continued to add group after group to their ever-widening circle of universe associates. Every new group of colleagues met adds one more level of ethics to be recognized and complied with, until by the time the mortals of ascent reach paradise, they really need someone to provide helpful and friendly counsel regarding ethical interpretations. They do not need to be taught ethics, but they do need to have what they have so laboriously learned properly interpreted to them, as they are brought face to face with the extraordinary task of contacting with so much that is new. The interpreters of ethics are of inestimable assistance to the paradise arrivals in helping them to adjust to numerous groups of majestic beings during that eventful period extending from the attainment of residential status to formal induction into the core of mortal finaliters. Many of the numerous types of paradise citizens, the ascendant being pilgrims, have already met on the seven circuits of Avona. The glorified mortals have also enjoyed intimate contact with the creature Trinitai sons of the conjoint core on the inner Avona circuit, where these beings are receiving much of their education. And on the other circuits, the ascending pilgrims have met numerous unrevealed residents of the paradise Avona system who are there pursuing group training in preparation for the unrevealed assignments of the future. All these celestial companionships are invariably mutual. As ascending mortals, you not only derive benefit from these successive universe companions and such numerous orders of increasingly divine associates, but you also impart to each of these fraternal beings something from your own personality and experience, which forever makes every one of them different and better for having been associated with an ascending mortal from the evolutionary worlds of time and space. Having already been fully instructed in the ethics of paradise relationships, neither meaningless formalities nor the dictations of artificial castes, but rather the inherent proprieties, the ascendant mortals find it helpful to receive the counsel of the superaphic directors of conduct who instruct new members of paradise society in the uses of the perfect conduct of the high beings who sojourn on the central Isle of Light. These are Emily Posts. They tell you, now, in this particular gathering, you're going to see some forks that you've never seen before, and here's how they function. Here's how you greet this type of being whom you've never met before. This is the custom. But I'll bet you, as we think about the custom, they make exquisite sense to us. I don't think we'll rebel against these formalities, because these are not really formalities. These are the best ways of doing things. Harmony is the keynote of the central universe, and detectable order prevails on paradise. Proper conduct is essential to progress by way of knowledge through philosophy to the spiritual heights of spontaneous worship. There is a divine technique in the approach to divinity, and the acquirement of this technique must await the pilgrim's arrival on paradise. The spirit of it has been imparted on the circles of Avona, but the final touches of the training of the pilgrims of time can be applied only after they actually attain the Isle of Light. All paradise conduct is wholly spontaneous and in every sense natural and free. But there still is a proper and perfect way of doing things on the Eternal Isle, and the directors of conduct are ever by the side of the strangers within the gate to instruct them and so guide their steps as to put them at perfect ease and at the same time to enable the pilgrims to avoid that confusion and uncertainty which otherwise would be inevitable. Only by such an arrangement could endless confusion be avoided, and confusion never appears on paradise. These directors of conduct really serve as glorified teachers and guides. They are chiefly concerned with instructing the new mortal residents regarding the almost endless array of new situations and unfamiliar usages. Notwithstanding all the long preparation therefore and the long journey thereto, paradise is still inexpressibly strange and unexpectedly new to those who finally attain residential status. The superaffic custodians of knowledge are the higher living epistles known and read by all who live on paradise. They are the divine records of truth, the living books of real knowledge. You have heard about records in the book of life. The custodians of knowledge are just such living books, records of perfection imprinted upon the eternal tablets of divine life and supreme surety. They are in reality living automatic libraries. The facts of the universe are inherent in these primary supernifin, actually recorded in these angels. It is also inherently impossible for an untruth to gain lodgment in the minds of these perfect and replete repositories of the truth of eternity and the intelligence of time. They conduct formal courses. You don't have to read pages anymore. When you locate that supernafim who is exactly what you desire to verify, you will find available all the known facts of all universes. For these custodians of knowledge are the final and living summaries of the vast network of the recording angels, ranging from the seraphim and seconafim of the local and super universes to the chief recorders of the tertiary supernafim in Havona. The wisdom of truth takes origin in the divinity of the central universe. But knowledge, experimental knowledge, largely has its beginnings in the domains of time and space. Therefore, the necessity for the maintenance of the far-flung super-universe organization of the recording seraphim and supernafim, sponsored by the celestial recorders. These primary supernafim, who are inherently in possession of universe knowledge, are also responsible for its organization and classification. In constituting themselves the living reference library of the universe of universes, they have classified knowledge into seven grand orders, each having about 1,000,000 subdivisions. The facility with which the residents of paradise can consult this vast store of knowledge is solely due to the voluntary and wise efforts of the custodians of knowledge. Next to the supreme satisfaction of worship is the exhilaration of philosophy. Never do you climb so high or advance so far that there do not remain 1,000 mysteries which demand the employment of philosophy in an attempted solution. The master philosophers of paradise delight to lead the minds of its inhabitants, both native and ascendant, in the exhilarating pursuit of attempting to solve universe problems. These superaffic masters of philosophy are the wise men of heaven, the beings of wisdom, who make use of the truth of knowledge and the facts of experience in their efforts to master the unknown. With them, knowledge attains to truth and experience ascends to wisdom. On paradise, the ascendant personalities of space experience the heights of being. They have knowledge. They know the truth. They may philosophize, think the truth. They may even seek to encompass the concepts of the ultimate and attempt to grasp the techniques of the absolute. I guess we're pretty primitive down here because we're attempting the same thing right here. At the southern extremity of the vast paradise domain, The masters of philosophy conduct elaborate courses in the 70 functional divisions of wisdom. Here they discourse upon the plans and purposes of infinity and seek to coordinate the experiences and to compose the knowledge of all who have access to their wisdom. They have developed a highly specialized attitude toward various universe problems, but their final conclusions are always in uniform agreement. These paradise philosophers teach by every possible method of instruction, including the higher graph technique of Havona and certain paradise methods of communicating information. All of these higher techniques of imparting knowledge and conveying ideas are utterly beyond the comprehension capacity of even the most highly developed human mind. 1 hour's instruction on paradise would be the equivalent of 10,000 years of the word memory methods of Urantia. You cannot grasp such communication techniques, and there is simply nothing in mortal experience with which they may be compared, nothing to which they can be likened. The masters of philosophy take supreme pleasure in imparting their interpretation of the universe of universes to those beings who have ascended from the worlds of space. And while philosophy can never be as settled in its conclusions as the facts of knowledge and the truths of experience, yet, when you have listened to these primary supernafim discourse upon the unsolved problems of eternity and the performances of the absolutes, you will feel a certain and lasting satisfaction concerning these unmastered questions. These intellectual pursuits of paradise are not broadcast. The philosophy of perfection is available only to those who are personally present. The encircling creations know of these teachings only from those who have passed through this experience and who have subsequently carried this wisdom out into the universes of space.
Bill, this bit you read here, for some reason as you read it, I had the presumption to feel as though they were being condescending. The master philosophers of paradise delight to lead the minds of its inhabitants, both native and ascendant, in the exhilarating pursuit of attempting to solve universe problems.
Mm-hmm. They don't have the solution either. But they've just specialized in attacking these problems.
Oh, well, they don't have the solution
No.
either. That's all right. But
no, they haven't got the solution.
The feeling that they...
But they have developed, through long practice and specialization, and a special expertness in approaching these problems.
Bill, has this ever struck you between the eyes, like it has me this evening, when it says they may even seek to encompass the concept of the ultimate
Yes.
and attempt to grasp the techniques of
Yes.
the absolute? Is that what we're trying to
Yes,
do?
Yes, exactly.
Why should we be doing that down here then? Way up there, they may attempt.
Because for whatever reason, Dorothy, the authors of these papers have seen fit to discuss these beings.
Yeah.
And it's my pleasure to attempt to share with you such understanding as I have of what this book is written about.
Are you surprised that we're even attempting it?
No. I think, you see, Dorothy, again.
They don't
reveal,
so we will speculate. They want to.
Stifles imagination.
You see again, Dorothy, what we're doing down here is so crude
Yeah.
that it doesn't even belong in the same thing with what they're doing. When they tell us about what's going on paradise, you have got maximum distortion of language. When they tell us what's going on Jerusalem on the physical level, I think we've got a very factual statement. But they're using English. And we're Bantus.
They attempt to grasp the techniques of the absolutes. That's just plain English.
I know,
and
but
they say may attempt.
I understand, but heaven knows what the author meant when he dictated that in the tongue of Uversa.
Well, they knew we had
the tongue,
our own minds.
The tongue of Uversa won't even translate into English.
He had his tongue in his cheek.
You can go from Uversa to Salvington. You can go from Salvington to Satania. And then you can translate to English.
Is it Narlashnik, Adelaide?
No.
You know, I'm surprised they gave us this bigger revelation.
I think
they didn't go as far as stop.
Well, in this area, Julia, I have the opinion that what we've got is a good deal less than a thousandth part of 1% of the original document.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I
think most, the greatest loss was in translation. Yes, I think what we've got is a very small fraction.
Well, there's probably lots more that they didn't even try to deal.
Yeah.
Well, are we trying to say that we shouldn't study the absolutes even though it's in here? Is that a...
Can we please finish Bud's Paradise Ascent? We're about to slide into home plate. Let me check something over here. Worship is the highest privilege and the first duty of all created intelligence. Worship is the conscious and joyous act of recognizing and acknowledging the truth of fact and of the intimate and personal relationships of the creators with their creatures. The quality of worship is determined by the depth of creature perception. And as the knowledge of the infinite character of the gods progresses, the act of worship becomes increasingly all-encompassing until it eventually attains the glory of the highest experiential delight and the most exquisite pleasure known to created beings. While the Isle of Paradise contains certain places of worship, it is more nearly one vast sanctuary of divine service. Worship is the first and dominant passion of all who climb to its blissful shores, the spontaneous ebullition of beings who have learned enough of God to attain His presence. Circle by circle during the inward journey through Havona, worship is a growing passion until on Paradise it becomes necessary to direct and otherwise control its expression. How different from Sunday morning here. The periodic, spontaneous group and other special outbursts of supreme adoration and spiritual praise enjoyed on paradise, are conducted under the leadership of a special corps of primary supernafim. Under the direction of these conductors of worship, such homage achieves the creature goal of supreme pleasure and attains the heights of the perfection of sublime self-expression and personal enjoyment. All primary supernafim crave to be conductors of worship, and all ascendant beings would enjoy forever remaining in the attitude of worship, did not the chiefs of assignment periodically disperse these assemblages. But no ascendant being is ever required to enter upon the assignments of eternal service until he has attained full satisfaction in worship. Just think, breaking up a prayer meeting. It's going on too long. It is the task of the conductors of worship so to teach the ascendant creatures how to worship, that they may be enabled to gain this satisfaction of self-expression and at the same time be able to give attention to the essential activities of the Paradise regime. Without improvement in the technique of worship, it would require hundreds of years for the average mortal who reaches Paradise to give full and satisfactory expression to his emotions of intelligent appreciation and ascendant gratitude. The conductors of worship open up new and hitherto unknown avenues of expression so that these wonderful children of the womb of space and the travail of time are enabled to gain the full satisfaction of worship in much less time. All the arts of all the beings of the entire universe, which are capable of intensifying and exalting the abilities of self-expression and the conveyance of appreciation, are employed to their highest capacity in the worship of the Paradise deities. Worship is the highest joy of Paradise existence. It is the refreshing play of Paradise. What play does for your jaded minds on earth, worship will do for your perfected souls on Paradise. The mode of worship on Paradise is utterly beyond mortal comprehension, but the spirit of it you can begin to appreciate even down here on Urantia, for the spirits of the gods even now indwell you, hover over you, and inspire you to true worship. There are appointed times and places for worship on Paradise, but these are not adequate to accommodate the ever-increasing overflow of the spiritual emotions of the growing intelligence and expanding divinity recognition over the brilliant beings of experiential ascension to the eternal life. Never since the times of Grand Fanda have the Supernafim been able fully to accommodate the spirit of worship on paradise. Always is there an excess of worshipfulness as gauged for the preparation, therefore. And this is because personalities of inherent perfection can never fully appreciate the tremendous reactions of the spiritual emotions of beings who have slowly and laboriously made their way upward to paradise glory from the depths of the spiritual darkness of the lower worlds of time and space. When such angels and mortals of time attain the presence of the powers of paradise, there occurs an expression of the accumulated emotions of the ages, a spectacle astounding to the angels of paradise and productive of the supreme joy of divine satisfaction in the paradise deities. Sometimes all paradise becomes engulfed in a dominating tide of spiritual and worshipful expression. Often the conductors of worship cannot control such phenomena until the appearance of the threefold fluctuation of the light of the deity abode, signifying that the divine heart of the gods has been fully and completely satisfied by the sincere worship of the residents of paradise, the perfect citizens of glory, and the ascendant creatures of time. What a triumph of technique! What a fruition of the eternal plan and purpose of the gods, that the intelligent love of the creature child should give full satisfaction to the infinite love of the Creator Father. After the attainment of the supreme satisfaction of the fullness of worship, you are qualified for admission to the core of the finality. The ascendant career is well nigh finished, and the seventh jubilee prepares for celebration. The first jubilee marked the mortal agreement with the thought adjuster when the purpose to survive was sealed. The second was the awakening in the Marantia life. The third was the fusion with the thought adjuster. The fourth was the awakening in Havona. The fifth celebrated the finding of the Universal Father. And the sixth jubilee was the occasion of the paradise awakening from the final transit slumber of time. The seventh jubilee marks the entrance into the mortal finality core and the beginning of the eternity service. The attainment of the seventh stage of spirit realization by a finaliter will probably signalize the celebration of the first of the jubilees of eternity. And thus ends the story of the Paradise Supernafim, the highest order of all the ministering spirits, those beings who, as a universal class, ever attend you from the world of your origin until you are finally bidden farewell by the conductors of worship as you take the Trinity oath of eternity and are mustered into the mortal core of the finality. The endless service of the Paradise Trinity is about to begin, and now the finaliter is face to face with a challenge of God the ultimate.